Being a parent is a tough, tough, tough job and a rewarding job, but it is a tough job. Over the course of this pandemic, the job got way, way tougher. Our kids are underfoot all the time, and everyone, them, the parents, their teachers, everybody is dealing with an enormous, enormous amount of stress. Author Daisy Dowling wrote a guide for working parents in this day and age to help get them on track, help keep them on track. She joins us now to talk more about Work Parent, the complete guide to succeeding on the job, staying true to yourself, and raising happy kids. Hello there.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
You are in New York City. You're in a New York City apartment. You have two children. You know of what you speak. Where are the girls right now? Did you bribe them with Doritos or TikTok? Which is it? It's one of the two.
So after 13 months, my kids are back at in-person school, which of course then ends next week. But during this brief period, I have my very own home office, which is also their bedroom.
Well, you have experience as a parent. I was also going through your work history, and you have experience not just in the work world, but in the very, very high stress world of investment banking and high finance at major, major firms. Was this a book that your younger self could have even cracked the cover of when you were in the go-go, no kid, you know, corporate ladder game?
Yeah, listen, this is the book that I wrote, and I'm only slightly joking when I say this, but this is the book that I wrote because I desperately needed and still need to read it, both as a parent and as an executive coach. So for years, I advised hardworking moms and dads how to get ahead on the job and manage their lives and make prudent business decisions. And they kept saying, Daisy, thanks for that advice, but how do I do all that when I have to get to 6 p.m. daycare pickup?
Yeah.
And then I became a parent myself, happily 9 years ago, and all of those questions came home to me. And I realized there wasn't a go-to resource out there on so many different things, including how to budget.
Yeah, there's not a go-to resource. There's almost no books. I get pitched, I don't know, 10 books a week, and they're about personal finance. They are about career. They are almost never, and they're about family, I guess, too, but they're almost, I don't think I've ever had one that lives at the intersection of all of those things. So I love this. I want to ask you what the fundamental insight is that you really wanted to address here.
Yes. So from a personal finance perspective, as a working parent, it's so essential to know what you are getting into, what phase you are at of working parenthood, and to understand some of the pitfalls, some of the tricky decisions that you may have to make. So eyes wide open, you can make the right decisions for you as a person, as a parent, for your career, and so that you can think about the longer term future. I saw so many people who were just like me, really tangled up in finance decisions, and I wanted to help extricate them. So that's what I focused on.
Three phases, you say. What are the three financial phases of working parenthood?
Yeah. So the first phase we'll call the honeymoon phase. That's when you find out you're expecting until the first day that your child is in full-time care.
Yes.
And yeah, maybe you had to sort of pay, you decided to pay up for the high-end stroller, or there's some expenses you're facing, but you're not really paying out of every paycheck big time. You're sort of, you know, getting ready for some of the expenditures ahead. And in this phase, a lot of parents begin to get a little bit lulled. They think, oh, it's not so bad. And so you don't use that time to get ready in the way that you need to do things like create a single working parent budget where you understand both in terms of potential lost income and in terms of outflow, what working parenthood might cost you. That's kind of daunting because that number might be bigger than you'd be comfortable with. But if you're going to lose overtime hours or cut back your work week and also be paying for care, what are you grappling with? And then once you've done that budget, to start putting where you can, putting a little bit away and aside so that you have a cushion for those critical couple of years ahead. That's in phase two.
Right. Keep going.
phase two, and I'm not going to sugarcoat this, phase two could be the most difficult financial part of your adult life. Mm. That's when your career is maybe just beginning to take off. Maybe you're, as I was, saving to buy a house. You're facing all kinds of different expenses. Maybe you're still paying for school or going to school part-time. And then wham, you're also paying for care. And care might be day in, day out daycare. It may be the extra sitter that you need during busy season. It may be all the other childcare gear that you have to have. It's just everything that goes into raising your child the way you want. And you don't have a lot of excess income. And this is the phase where not just that you have to sort of endure it, which is where I think a lot of people end up, but where you can start making some decisions that work against you. So you may think, well, we're just hemorrhaging cash anyway, so why even bother budgeting? Or you may think, well, it's so expensive, I'm just handing my paycheck over to a sitter, so maybe I'll just ratchet back or, you know, drop out of the workforce because it just doesn't make any financial sense to work. Or you'll think, we're spending so much money, I can't spend another cent on anything that would make my working parent life easier. Mm. And all three of those are totally understandable, but they may not be the right decisions for you.
And then there's phase three. What happens then? Is my kid eventually leaving my house? Is that phase three, or is that like someday maybe?
Phase three, I think you may already be in. Phase three is the expenses are still real and they're there, but they're not as over the top as when your child is in full-time care before they've started school.
Yeah. And so, we made the choice to have, she's in public school. She actually doesn't even really need sitters. Like not like, well, it's a time when who has sitters, but she doesn't need them in the way that she did even a year and a half ago.
Yeah. Maybe she has after-school activities or, you know, after-school care of some kind, but your expenses go way, way down. Now that's wonderful. It's like getting a raise, and phase three is what you want to keep in your mind's eye as you're soldiering through phase two. And as you make decisions, your goal is to try and get yourself to phase three, but be careful because in phase three, there's also certain things that really shift on you. One is that your outlay for childcare, for kid-related stuff, maybe much lower, but it's probably going to be spiky. So that summer camp expense is could be really big ticket, but it's going to be condensed in those 2 months per year. Well, maybe you want to put aside money month to month to try and make that a little bit easier. And there's also an interesting component that happens in phase three, where your financial decisions have sort of a my child's welfare and future versus my welfare and future feeling to them. Are you going to put that extra bit of money in the retirement account or pay for the math tutoring? And that can be a big identity crisis for a lot of parents.
So I want to really engage on that question because priority setting is brutal for anyone. It is brutal when you layer in the stakes of being a parent, like that math tutor. If I don't get the math tutor, I'm going to graduate high school. So how do you think logically, or how do you think responsibly about the intersection of feelings and logic such that you can prioritize effectively?
So one important question to ask yourself is, am I guilt spending? Mm-hmm. If you are a completely loving, committed mom or dad, and you're working 40, 50, 60 hours a week, you're doing so much professionally, and you feel that constant little sense of anxiety that most of us do, that am I on it enough as a parent? Am I doing enough for my kids? Am I around enough? It's really natural to try and sort of compensate for that by stretching to pay for the expensive ballet lessons, or feeling like if your child doesn't go to the, you know, the right after school activity, even if it's got a big ticket attached to it, that somehow you're not being a great parent. So the first thing to do is just take a step back and say, am I making an emotional decision or am I making a practical one? What's going to help my child succeed in school, be healthy and happy, keep a balanced life, not overwhelm them? And also, what am I 20 years from now going to wish we had decided around this? Mm. And that'll get you a little away from sort of the emotion spending.
You have, I think, a really practical approach to cutting back on your budget. You would say, I mean, it's a cliche, but don't sweat the small stuff. Make categorical cuts. What do you mean by that?
I mean, it's important to get yourself out of the constant second guessing and decision making that we all have around money, day in, day out, thinking, oh, is it okay for me to buy my morning latte? I've heard the, you know, some finance experts say that I shouldn't do that. I should be putting the money away. That's really anxiety provoking. And it just takes up too much of your bandwidth. Categorical cuts is a way of, again, stepping back and just saying, listen, there's certain things I'll never spend on. Hey, in this family, we're only going to buy used cars, or we will eat out, but only once per week. Or yeah, I will buy, you know, video games for my kids because they're kids and they enjoy them, but I'll only buy X number per year. In other words, it's basically creating a rule for yourself. I'll never do X, but I'll always do Y. We'll always eat healthful food. We'll never eat out more than once a week. And then you don't have to belabor the decision.
Yeah. I want to sneak in one last question here. We're a two dad family. Most of our culture is around heterosexual couples and how they think about these kinds of issues. There is a ton going on from a gender perspective as we think about work parents. What is your message to dads? Because so much of this seems to fall on the shoulders of moms.
Yeah, I would say my message to any parent, but maybe particularly to dads who historically generally have a lot of pressure of feeling like I need to be a breadwinner. I would say the best thing for you to do as a working parent to balance earnings pressure, being there for your kids, you want to do both, is to look out into the future and imagine 5 years from now, 10 years from now, where you want to be as a working parent, not what you want your bank account to be, not just where you want to be professionally, not just how you want your kids to succeed, but what is your integrated picture of success? And then work back from there. It will simply allow you to take some of the day-to-day pressure off and also balance these three different sort of important buckets of responsibility, of pressure, of what society tells you you should be doing.
Really helpful stuff. Daisy, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Daisy Dowling is the author of Work Parent, The Complete Guide to Succeeding on the Job, Staying True to Yourself, and Raising Happy Kids. She joins us today from New York City.